Well, we turn back this evening to page 896, that is to Mark's Gospel and chapter 12, and to that part of the Bible that we were reading a few minutes ago at the beginning of the service. And in chapter 12, we read this verse. One little verse, we'll be looking at the rest of the story as well, but one particular verse that we want to take as our text, and it's verse 34. And this is what the verse says. Jesus has been listening, had been engaging in a conversation with one of the men who's been listening to him. And the man's spoken, and Jesus says this. When Jesus saw that he, the scribe, the lawyer, when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." You're not far from the kingdom of God. When we look at the life of the Lord Jesus and remember that he was a man who knew everything, it's surprising how many questions he asked as he went about teaching people and leading them and instructing them. We find him again and again asking them questions. It wasn't because he didn't know the answer to the questions, but I suppose like all good teachers, and he was a teacher, like all good teachers, he asked questions to stimulate the students, the pupils, the disciples, if you like, that he had before him. And he wanted them not just to be sitting there like sponges, hopefully taking in everything he said. He wanted them to be thinking for themselves. He wanted them to be using their brains and using their minds. And so he's asking them these things again and again and again. But not only was Jesus asking questions, he was, again, as you would expect a teacher, being asked questions. People were always coming to him and asking him questions. And it can be very tiring, can't it, when people are asking you all the time. And with so much wisdom and so much knowledge to give, it was little wonder that many, many people were coming to him, hundreds probably coming to him and asking, what about this, what about that, what about the other? And so he was able to deal with them and able to answer them. Now, very often, of course, some people came to him and they had good questions. They had serious questions. They had questions that really bothered them and troubled them. And if they came, anybody came to Jesus and had a really important question, Jesus would say to them, "Well, now, this is the answer to your question." And he had a marvelous ability, did Jesus, to be able to discern when someone was asking a serious question and when someone was asking a foolish question. Teachers get to know that, don't they? You who are here tonight know this very well. You know when someone in your class is asking you a good and a serious question and you answer him seriously. But you also know when someone's trying to take the mick and when someone is trying to play the teacher up. And you'll deal with them in the same way. Maybe you won't answer them. Maybe you'll just ignore them. Or maybe just show them how foolish their question is, what a ridiculous question it is that they have asked. Well, now here was a man who came to Jesus with a very important question. There's no mistaking his intention and no mistaking the importance of what he had to say. We're told a few verses above that one of the lawyers, one of the scribes, intelligent, clever, academic men, one of the scribes came and having heard them reasoning together, that is, he'd been listening to Jesus talking to other people and answering their questions. And this man had been listening very quietly. And he thought, well, this chap, Jesus, he knows his stuff. He really does. He's giving good answers here. And this scribe, hearing them reasoning together and perceiving, realizing that Jesus had answered them very well, he thought, I'll ask him my own question. I've got a good question to ask him, and it's obvious that he can give good answers. And the question that he asked was this, which is the first commandment of all? He knew there were many commandments. He knew there were 10 commandments, but he probably knew there were many, many more than 10 commandments. There were a huge number, more than that. But he wanted to know, well, now, if I've got to pick one of the commandments, which one should it be? We're all like that, aren't we? If you've got a list of things and we say, well, I can't keep all those, I can't keep everything, which is the most important? Which one do you think I should really aim at? Which one should I make my goal? And that's what this man asked. Which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus gave him a very serious answer. And if you like, it covers a couple of verses here, two or three verses. Jesus said, well, the first commandment that you need to know is this, love God. Love God with everything that you've got. With all your mind, with all your heart, with all your soul, whatever that is, love God as much and as entirely and as completely as you can. And since you're interested in the commandments, he said, I'll tell you the second commandment. Jesus was always generous in his answers. Here's the first commandment, but listen, that's not enough. Here's the second one. And the second one is this, love your neighbor as you love yourself. That's very, very difficult. We all love ourselves very, very much, very, very much. Of course we do. But we are to love our neighbors in the same way that we love ourselves. If that's difficult, well, the first commandment is even more difficult, to love God with all our hearts and with all our minds. And when Jesus gave the man the answer, the man said, yeah, that's an excellent answer. That's a very good answer. The man agreed with him, and no doubt he felt very satisfied. And he could go around, and he could say, my, that was a good question. Imagine, he said, Jesus agreed with me. He tended to be a little arrogant. We can all be like that. It wasn't enough that he agreed with Jesus, but the big thing was, Jesus agrees with me. So I've got the right idea and I've got the right answer. And to prove that I've got the right answer, this man, the Lord Jesus, this man from Galilee, from Nazareth, he who's been doing so many wonderful things, he agrees with me. And then Jesus went on to say something very, very strange indeed. He said to the man, you are not far, you know, you're not far from the kingdom of God. And there was a strange thing for him to say, and the man obviously thought, well, it's a strange thing to say to me. I've agreed with what you're saying. I say, well, yeah, that's a good answer. You've answered those fellows over there very well. And I came with my question. You've answered me very well. And I agree with you and you agree with me. So we must be on the same wavelength. You've come from heaven. You've come to tell us the way to heaven. And because I agree with you and you agree with me, then I must be all right. I must be in the kingdom of heaven. But Jesus says, no. Don't get the wrong idea, he says. You are not far from the kingdom of heaven. So if you're not far from the kingdom of heaven, the man wondered, well, what does he expect of me? What does he want from me? The man, the scribe, thought, well, I must be in the kingdom of heaven. I must be set fair for heaven. If anybody is going to heaven when he dies, it must be me. Because I am so much in agreement with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you're thinking that, well, obviously, for what Jesus is saying here, you're wrong. And we are wrong. If I think, well, that's it. That puts me right then. Well, it says the Lord Jesus Christ here, no, that's not right at all. It's not so. You're barking up the wrong tree completely. Because if we think that agreeing with what Jesus says takes us to heaven, we need to think again. We need to consider very carefully what it is. Because Jesus is saying we can do all this and still be not far from the kingdom of heaven. Now, just a few things that I want to say to you tonight. First is this, that this man is not far from the kingdom. I want to emphasize that, and I want you to notice it. The man is not very far from the kingdom of heaven. What does that mean? Well, it means this. To be near is not good enough. To be near heaven is not good enough. To be near anything is not good enough. If a pass mark is 50% and you got 49%, that's not good enough. You're very near. You're not far from having a degree or whatever it is, but you're not there. It's not enough. It's not good enough. Nearly to win is to lose. I'm not a World Cup fan, but I've watched one game completely, but I watched a few games, parts of them. I'm more of a rugby man myself, I've come clean. But I did watch a game last night, Brazil and Chile. Very good game, from what I understood. And it was going from one end to the other, and there was some good football, there was some bad football, there was no biting, but there was some good football being played. And during the play, I think it was in the second half, one of the Chileans got hold of the ball. My, did he get hold of it? He gave it such a belt. It must be one of the most powerful shots in the whole competition. It was a terrific shot. It went like a rocket. And as the experts say, it had gold written all over it. But it didn't go in. Didn't go in. What happened to it? It didn't go behind either. It hit the crossbar. And it hit the crossbar so ferociously, it bounced back. And the commentator said afterwards, 5 minutes afterwards, he said, you know, the crossbar is still shaking after that fella hit the ball. And they were talking, as commentators do, after the shot. And one said, you know, if that had been 6 inches lower, it would have been a goal. And the commentator said, 6 inches lower. If it had been an inch lower, it would have been a goal. But it wasn't a goal. It is very nearly a goal. It was very nearly the goal of the tournament. But it wasn't a goal. Not far from being a goal. As close as you could get to being a goal. But not a goal. You listen to the football results on a Saturday. What did it sound like? Well, they sound like this. Liverpool 3, Everton 1. Manchester City 4, Manchester United 2. Swansea City 5, Newcastle United nearly won. What do you mean nearly won? Oh well, you see, he hit the post. But that doesn't matter. Well, he nearly hit the post. It's got nothing to do with it. And the referee didn't say, well, you know, you come back, that was a good shot there, have another go. Doesn't happen like that. Life isn't like that. Life is black and white. Life is right and wrong. Life is being there or not being there. And that's how it was with this man here. That fellow from Chile might as well have hit the corner flag. Wouldn't have done any good. Wouldn't have done any more good. Wouldn't have done any more harm. This is what Jesus is talking about here. He is very kind. Jesus is always very kind, but he speaks the truth. And he says things, he tells you things as they are. Now, which would you rather have? Would you rather have a man who's all smiles and kind and gentle and with a flattering tongue? Would you rather have a man like that telling you lies? Or would you rather have a man severe, strict, serious, telling you, listen, this is the truth. I know which I prefer. And I imagine you know what you'd prefer. You'd rather have someone tell you, well, now this is how it is. This is the truth. The Bible says that the wounds of a friend hurts you sometimes. The wounds of a friend are faithful. But the kisses and the flattery and the kindness and the slyness of an enemy, they're deceitful. Jesus was never deceitful. He was never sly. He was never trying to cut corners. And that's what he said to this man, "My friend, you are not far from the kingdom of heaven." Heaven's very large, incredibly large. There's a huge amount of room in heaven. Jesus said, "In my Father's house, there are many mansions, lots and lots and lots of room." There's room for everybody inside. There's room for everybody here tonight, inside this kingdom. But not everybody gets in. It's got boundaries. There's the kingdom, but there's a boundary there. And there are some people inside, and there are some people outside. Jesus said, "In my Father's house." But like your house, the Father's house is an inside and an outside. Not everybody's inside. And not everybody gets to be inside the kingdom of heaven. Not everybody gets to be in the kingdom. To be near is to be outside. To be near is to be not where you need to be, and where you want to be, and where you should be. In other words, to be nearly a Christian, to be that much away from being a Christian, is just the same as being that much away from being a Christian. "You are not far," said Jesus, "from the kingdom of heaven." The second thing we notice is this, that the man's knowledge doesn't get him into the kingdom of heaven. So giving the right answers is not good enough. Saying the right things doesn't get him into heaven. Ticking all the boxes, that doesn't get him into heaven. Doing things by the book doesn't bring you into the kingdom of heaven. The man knew the commandments. You want to know the best, the greatest, the first. Getting all the other commandments right is simply not enough and not good enough. And this man, to his credit, saw the need for something extra. There was a plus needed. And he could see what it is. He could see that you must do all these things with your heart. There's something inner that's needed and that's required. Now, not many people quarrel with the sayings of Jesus. You go to tonight and there'll be many, many people who don't care, don't give a fig about Jesus. But you won't find many of them who say, "Well, Jesus was wrong." Most people agree with Jesus. Many people think that what he said are the best things that anybody ever said. They would say that, they would agree with that. But they remain outside. And so if you agree with the Lord Jesus Christ in what he says, if you say, "Yes, that's a good thing," like this man, "Well done, teacher, you've answered well," it's not enough. It's not enough. The man said it and Jesus said, "Well, that's a good answer, but listen, it doesn't get you into heaven. You are still not far from the kingdom of heaven." So to know Jesus died and to know that he rose again and to know that he's in heaven, to know all those things is good, is vital, is important, but it's not enough. It's like hitting the crossbar. It's not there, not quite there. And the man's knowledge doesn't get him there. To be on the right road is fine, but you still haven't reached where you want to go. Some years ago, we went on a holiday to Spain. We went to Nigel and Anona's place. They had a place in Spain, you know. And we went there. We went there a few times, but we went there once on our own. And we were on the road passing La Quinta. It was the most frustrating journey, one of the most frustrating journeys I've ever been on. Because I could see the place. There it is. Yes, it is. That's it. Now turn off here. And we turned off here and we came past it. There it is. And we came past it this way. There it is. We were on the right road. And we were nearly there. But it took us an age eventually to get there. You see, being near, again, isn't, I knew the way there. Didn't do me any good. Didn't do me any good at all. The last thing I want to notice is this, that Jesus didn't tell him how to get into heaven. It's a strange thing, isn't it? Jesus didn't say to him, "Now this is the way into heaven." That's very puzzling, it seems to me. You'd have thought that Jesus would have said to him, well, you're not far from heaven. Now, if you want to go to heaven, this is the way. That's what I would have done, and that's what you would have done. If someone asked you any questions, you'd have said, well, you're not far. Now, listen to me. This is how you'll get there. But he didn't do that. He didn't do that. He just left the man flat. And he said to him, you're not far from heaven. Oh, that's it then. Thanks very much. It's a puzzle. Why didn't Jesus do that? But there's an even more puzzling thing. And it's this, that the man didn't ask Jesus, well, don't leave me here. Tell me, how do I get to heaven? I don't want to be not far from. I want to be in. I want to be there. But he didn't do that. If I was going to, let's say, Llanelli, and I got as far as Lecha, and I said to someone, is this Llanelli? They said, no, but you're not far. Well, come on, give me a bit more information. Have mercy on me. Tell me, how do I get to Llanelli? The man doesn't do it. He just lets the question drop there. Lets everything end there. Why was that the case? Why didn't he ask what was the way into heaven? I think probably because he knew very well the way. He knew what was needed. And he was afraid to ask, how do I get to heaven? Because he was afraid that Jesus would tell him something that was unpleasant. What was he afraid of? I don't know. He's a lawyer. Maybe he thought, well, if I ask Jesus the way to heaven and he tells me, maybe I'll lose my money. I'll lose my clients. If they find out that I'm a follower of Jesus, they'll drop me like a hot brick. Maybe he's afraid of losing his friends. Maybe he thought, well, if I follow Jesus, my friends will just vanish. They'll just disappear. They'll just go away anywhere. He knew the way to heaven. I'm quite sure of it. Jesus went on to speak later on about Christ and the Son of David and things of that kind. But the man knew in his heart. And that's why he didn't ask. What did he know? He knew that the way was to trust Jesus Christ. He knew that the way was to put his confidence in him. He knew that the way was to say, Jesus, I want you to be my friend and my guide and my leader and my helper. I want you to be everything for me. That's what he would have said. And if you and I are wise tonight, what we will say is this, Jesus, you know I'm not far from heaven. You know I want to be in heaven. How do I get there? How do I get there? Jesus won't tell you, keep the commandments. He won't tell you, do this, do that, do the other, go to church, do all the other religious things. He won't tell you that. What he'll say is this, when I came into the world 2,000 years ago, I went to the cross and I died on the cross for your sins. I paid the punishment that was yours because you and I have punishment to bear. And Jesus said, I came in to take your place and to take your punishment. This is how you get into heaven. My friends, I say tonight, don't be satisfied and don't be content with being near, with being not far. Turn to Jesus Christ. Trust in him and believe on him and know what it is to be not near, not far from, but actually inside forever and forever and forever. For his name's sake. Amen.